Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm very excited about having a member of our Brain Trust, folks. He hasn't been with us a lot, but we're gonna see if we can't get him on a little more regularly these days. The legendary John Leo, ladies and gentlemen, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute and editor, one of the editors at Minding the Campus. He's also a contributor to City Journal. But, folks, more importantly than that, you know him as a columnist for many decades, a newspaper columnist. A lot of what I know about how to write really well and to net it out, I learned from people like John Leo. And John Leo, thank you for joining me today.
Well, that's wonderful to be here. I loved everything except many decades.
Well, see, I'm only a half a generation behind you, John, and so, whenever I talk about my career now, I don't talk in years. I talk in terms of decades, and the only reason is because there are fewer decades than years. That's the story I'm sticking to. Hey, John, it's great to have you back, and let's, you know, I don't want you to stay away so long. Next time, talk about. Talk to us about this. Well, let me stop for a second. I was telling the audience that in 2008 we had a lot more meltdowns than just the housing meltdown, didn't we? The credit card companies were already worried. We had the real estate situation, but there was also something with the student loan universe, wasn't it?
Right. See, I think I'm on your show partly because of an 8-inch article in the Wall Street Journal the other day. Because everybody called when the Journal ran an article saying that the higher education bubble is beginning to look like the housing bubble.
Yep.
Now, some people have been saying this for years, but it's beginning to impinge on the consciousness of people who follow current events. And, in fact, students owe $1 trillion. In fact, it may be $1.2 trillion. People are not quite sure. And what the Journal suggested is that this is going to affect the recovery, particularly the housing market, because these kids are going to be in debt so long, at such a high rate of interest, they won't be able to buy a home.
They owe a house right now. Many of them owe a house
for
student loans. No, the reason you're on the show is, John, is because of our regard for you, but the reason why the student loan thing was kicked down the road. Is because I think in 2008 we couldn't handle this kind of a crisis, you know, on our doorstep at the same time as the others. Because, as you know, we had a housing crisis, we had credit card crisis, we even had a commercial real estate crisis that we were able to kick down the road. And I think we're just now getting to the point where we can kind of think about handling this. What do you think?
Well, that's right. It is very politically difficult to handle the student loan crisis because the way to do it, in my opinion, is to make sure you give loans to people who can benefit from college, which means do they have marks anywhere near what college requires. But as soon as you start to do that, merit-based, striving-based thing, you run into political problems. Better to give the money to everybody who wants it, which is going on now, than to be sensible and reform the situation.
Well, isn't there another issue there, though, John? Because didn't a lot of the people who got student loans borrow that money and use it to live on as well, not just for education?
Absolutely. That's
where the big tickets came in, was it? I mean, the credit was made available to them, and nobody said, okay, you can write this for tuition and books.
No, the kids who got these loans and squandered the money, I don't know what they were thinking, but you're quite right. They used it for books, for parties, for the one book recently called the 5-year party at college.
Right.
Somehow they didn't figure out they're going to have to pay it back, and you can't go into bankruptcy and avoid it. You have to pay that debt no matter what. But
why is that?
No one told them.
Why is that? Why can't they bankrupt out of that?
Well, that was one of the political deals in Washington that certain votes were not available to pass the legislation. if kids could wriggle out by going through a bankruptcy and starting.
Now, is this since 2008? Or has it always been that way?
I don't remember exactly when that happened, but yeah. I think it was before.
Because didn't the government take over the student loan? Nationalize that?
That was a fateful thing because say what you will about how banks operate. One thing they do put emphasis on is creditworthiness.
Yeah.
If you try to buy a house with the kind of marks you might buy a student loan with, the bank would simply turn you down. You're not house worthy if you have no credit rating. But in this system, there's no examination at all as whether the kids are worth the loan.
Well, they took out a loan and went to college, and then they graduated and they couldn't get a job. They took out another loan and got a second degree.
Yeah, so some of the fault lies with the students themselves. They should figure out that if you're going to take a PhD in French literature, you're not going to make $500,000 a year.
Right.
No one told them that, though.
Yeah. Well, you're right about that. And so how do we manage this situation where kids who can benefit from an education and need the money can borrow the money, but people who are abusing it or not planning well shouldn't? How do we put that together and still live in a land of liberty?
Well, I think we have to start with a yes and a no. The no would be, no, we're not going to squander another $1 trillion that's not going to be repaid. But the yes part would be, all right, you guys are going to college now. You have to make a living. We'll help. We'll set up an apprentice system. Business will step in. There are alternatives to college, and you can learn on the job through an apprentice system supervised by businessmen who know what they're doing.
Well, you know, at the risk of sounding really old, John, when I was going to college, there were student loan programs, I guess, but I didn't know anything about them. I'm kind of glad they did. I went to a college that I could afford, which wasn't very much. It didn't cost a lot of money, but it was more than I had. But I eked it out, and I made it happen. And I graduated from college. I got a degree, a BS degree from a Division II school, and I didn't owe any money.
Yeah. I have a friend that's only a few years older than I, who told me over lunch one day that he got a $250 scholarship to the University of Michigan. And I said, big deal. And he said, actually, it was. That was the entire tuition my freshman year.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, everybody could afford college before college went nuts and started to overcharge year by year.
That's another thing. We're going to talk. I want to talk to John to tell us what he thinks. Where is this going to go, and what are the long-term solutions for this? Because, folks, this is $1 trillion. It's a big deal. It's a big headwind for our economy, short and long term. Legendary John Leo and I will be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.